We're holding on Dalit Amud Bey's four lines from the bottom. So we've been spending the last couple of blocks discussing the din that the Mishnah says that when you bring a get from Medina Sayyam, you have to be able to declare b'fanei nechtam. It was written and signed in my presence. And we've been discussing the different reasons that Rabba and Rava give for why that should be so. Rabba's reason is because people in Medina Sayyam are not necessarily familiar with the concept of Lishma, and therefore there's the concern that the get may have been written Shalo Lishma. Actually, Rashi and Tosfos discuss over there the possibilities. Do we mean that literally the get may not have been written Lishma, that there is the actual possibility they literally may not, for example, now the Gemara establishes in various places throughout the Sugya that the Sofrei HaDayanim, even though in principle a person can write their own get, in practice, you would usually go to the sofer, a Beis Din, to do it because they know all the formulas and everything. They know how a get should be written, and they're going to know the din. So Rashi earlier describes the point that you may have, for example, the husband may not be so familiar with the concept of the Shema, or the Edim may not be so familiar. So, for example, imagine the husband might find a get that was written with the same name as his and was thrown away. Or that was written for practice by a sofer or something, and then he's going to use that, not realizing that he can't because it wasn't written lishma. So therefore, the point is, when the person says, when the shliach says b'fanei nechtam, then we can also ask him at the same time, do you know what are the circumstances? So tell us what are the circumstances under which the get was written, and therefore he'll be able to tell us that yes, I saw that they were writing it lishma and so forth. According to Tosfos, it's not even so much that. We're not really concerned about the possibility that they may use a get that was not written Lishma. It's more that the husband may try to be motzi laz on it. The husband may try to use this as an excuse to claim that the get is no good, claim that there was something about it that was no good, such as it was Lishma, such as that it was Shalo Lishma. So we've been discussing the last couple of blocks, the ins and outs of Rabba's and Rava's reasons and trying to bring various challenges against one or the other. In the end, we ended up saying that Rabba has to agree that Rava's reason is a valid consideration as well. And therefore, you have the case at the end of the Mishnah. Reb Shimon Gamliel says that you have a case where you have one city in Eretz Yisrael where you have two hegmonim, you have two hegmonias in one city in Eretz Yisrael, Hegmonia being a place ruled over by a particular duke or nobleman or whatever, where the two of them don't get along. They have a cold war going on between them, and you can't easily travel from one to the other. Where there, Reb Shimon Gamliel saying, you're going to have to say b'fanei nechtam, when you bring a get from one Hegmonia to the other, even though on the face of it, it's in Eretz Yisrael, and everybody there is familiar with Lishma. The whole point is that the takana is only when you're in chutzla, you have to say b'fanei nechtam. So if we see that in this case, you still have to say it, then that would mean that it's more because of Rava's reason of ein edim mitzuyin l'kaimo, you may not be able to get edim to validate the signatures if it's brought into question whether these are genuine signatures. So now the Gemara is going to continue discussing this point about Rabba's and Rava's respective opinions. So the Gemara says, Tanan. Let's look at our Mishnah again. The next Mishnah on Tesamad Bay says, Hamevi get me Medina Sayyam, if a person brings a get from Medina Sayyam, from a country outside Eretz Yisrael, the Eina Yocholoima b'fanei nechtam. He's not able to say b'fanei nechtam, and we're going to see soon what that means. What does it mean that he's not able to? Does it mean that he's not physically able to say the words, or do we mean that he was not actually present there when it was being written and signed? Anyway, the Mishnah continues, Im yesh olav edim, if there are edim signed on the get, and of course, normally there are going to be, we learned a couple of days ago that you have the machlokas, Reb Meir and Reb Elazar, which is going to come up several times in our Masechta, whether there actually need to be edim written, and whether there need to be edim actually signed in writing in the get, or whether it's just enough that the get is given in the presence of edim. But we're saying, in other words, if there are edim who are signed on it, because the fact is they don't necessarily have to be. So if there are edim signed on it, yiskayim b'chosmav, then the Mishnah says that then the Mishnah there is a different explanation that some of the Mefarshim say. that im yesh alav edim rather means, of course, there are edim signed in, and it means if there are edim available to validate those signatures, who they can recognize, they can say, we recognize that these are the signatures of Pliny and Pliny. Anyway, so the Mishnah says, yiskayim b'chosmav, then what you do is you validate the signatures that way. You have edim come, and either the original edim come, or other edim, or whatever. You have altogether that Amram describes five different ways that you can be makayim ashtar. So you do that, and then you know that the signatures, and then you know the signatures are okay. Anyway, vahavinanba. So now, when we have that Mishnah, then we discuss on that. The Gemara later on brings up this discussion. My ve'ene yochel loymar. What does this phrase ve'ene yochel loymar mean? Does it mean ilay macheresh? Do we mean that the person who is bringing the get is a cheresh? He's a deaf mute and he's unable to hear and he's unable to speak, and therefore he's not able to say the words. Well, you have to ask, cheresh bari suya gitahu? Is a cheresh somebody who's even capable of bringing a get, and it should be a valid delivery of the get? But none. We learn in a Mishnah later on in the Masechta, everybody is kosher to bring a get except for a cheresh shoyt of a cotton, because the whole concept that you can send a get with somebody is the concept of shlichus, and a shliach has to be a ben das. A cheresh shoyt of a cotton don't have das, so therefore you can't send, therefore you can't make them shluchim to bring a get from one place to another. So it can't mean that. And Tosfos points out that it also can't mean, the Gemara is not going to assume that it means, for example, that he didn't see the writing, or that he's not capable of speaking, that he's capable of hearing but not speaking, which is called an ilim, a mute, because then Tosfos says, then the expression in the Mishnah wouldn't have to be the ene yochel loymar, then it would just be, then it would just say veloy omar, that he did not say b'fana nechta b'fana nechta. The expression ene yochel loymar implies that there was a point when he would have been able to say it, and now something happened to prevent him from doing that. So what would that be? So the Amr of Yosef, Hochab Mayaskinen, so Rabbi Yosef explains what we're talking about, is Kugunchen Nosnila, the Shliach gave the get to the woman, Kropikeach, when he was normal, when he was able to hear and speak, and then he was perfectly able to be a shliach. V'loy hispik loyma b'fan nechta b'fan nechtam adshin ischarish. He did not have the opportunity to say the words b'fan nechtam before he became a deaf mute. So let's say on the spot over there he had a stroke or something, and all of a sudden he's unable to say the words. And we always consider in halacha that a cheresh, somebody who can't hear and can't speak, is also lacking in das. If he can only not speak, or he can only not hear, then fine, he still has das. But if he's lacking both, then we consider that he doesn't have das. And even though here it just happened right here on the spot, then so now he's not able to say it anymore. And therefore, the Mishnah is saying that instead you sky in b'chosmav, that you validate the get. Since you can't validate the get with b'fanin nechta, then instead you validate it by having someone come and say they recognize the signatures of aid. The idea is, Tosfos also explains, the idea is that the shliach is supposed to say, when does he say b'fanenechtam, when he's giving the get to the woman, or when he's or b'toch kedei dibur, of that at least is when he has to be saying that. In fact, the Maharam Shif points out at the very beginning of the Masechta, Rashi explained that this whole dinner b'fanenechtam only applies to a shliach holacha. So we mentioned at the beginning of the Masechta that there are various kinds of shluchim that you can have in connection with a get. What we're focusing on right now is the shliach holacha, which is that his job is just to bring the get from point A to point B, and then give it to the woman. It takes effect when he gives it to the woman. It's as if he's standing in place of the husband. He's the husband's shliach, and as soon as he gives it to her, it takes effect. As opposed to, we're going to talk about later on in the Masechta, a different kind of shliach called the shliach kabbalah, which is a shliach of the wife, where as soon as the shliach receives the get, then it takes effect. Then there's no b'fanenechtam, because then you don't need to. As soon as he receives the get, then it takes effect as if she received it. And then the Maharam Shif points out also the fact is that you're not having, there's nothing to say when you're giving the get, because the get doesn't have to be given in that case. It takes effect right away when he gets it. And therefore, the whole concept of b'fanenechtam, which is supposed to be at the time of the giving, wouldn't apply. Anyway, so that's what the Mishnah means when it says ve'ena yocholoymer, that he's not able to, meaning before he would have been, when the husband sent the get with him, he was perfectly capable of saying it. But since then, something happened, namely that he became a cheresh, and now he's not able to anymore. So now that we understand it that way, l'rova nicha, so according to Rava, it seems to be very easy to understand why it is yiskayim b'chosmav, because according to Rava, the whole problem is that ein edim etzuyim l'kayma, you're not easily able to find edim to validate the signatures. Well, very well. Now, normally we would say b'fana nechtam takes care of that, because it certifies that the signatures are valid. But now that he's not able to say that, then instead we need other edim to come and say that they recognize the signatures or whatever. But l'rabba kasha, but according to Rabba, wouldn't it be a question? According to Rabba, who said that the problem is that the bnei medina sayam, the people outside of Yisrael, are not familiar enough with the din of lishma. So how does it help yiskayim b'chosma? You still have the concern that the get was signed shaloi lishma. In fact, the Rashba discusses the point that really, if it were just the Mishnah, we would have asked the question on Rabba. What's the chiddush of yiskayim b'chosma? But now that we clarified that we're talking about a case where he was pikeach v'nischarish, so we would say, so according to Rava, what the Mishnah is telling us is the same way as you're not requiring b'fanin nechtam, because he's not able to say it, maybe in that case you shouldn't require kiyum either. Maybe you should say it's a far-fetched idea to say that this get is invalid, or the signatures are forged or whatever, and therefore we shouldn't require it. And therefore the Tana is informing us that no, you do need the kiyum b'chosmav. But still, the question. So according to Rabba, we can say the Mishnah is telling us that chiddush. But according to Rabba, never mind the question of what the chiddush and the Mishnah is. The question is, how does it work? How does yiskayim b'chosmav take care of the problem of the shema? So the Gemara answers, Hochab Maya Skinan La'acha Shalom. The answer is, we can say that the Mishnah is talking about after the people of Medina Sayam learnt, eventually there came a point when they learnt, when they became knowledgeable enough Chachamim were visiting them, or enough Chachamim even were opening yeshivas over there themselves, that they became more familiar with the dinim, including the din of Lashma. So now at this point, Rabba would say that you don't really have the concern anymore about that they don't know Lishma. You still need, because we said before, Rabba does agree with Rava's reason that Yiskayim, that having people available to validate the signature is Ein Edim Mitzuyim L'Kayma is also a concern. Well, very well then. So Rabba will say, so now the only reason to do B'fanin Nechtam is because of that reason of Rava's. So since he can't say b'fana nechtam, so instead the next best thing is we'll do yiskayim b'chosmav, and that will accomplish the same thing. Well, the Gemara asks, yihochi yochol nami. Well, then in that case, why don't we say the same thing, even if the shliach is able to say b'fana nechtam. Once we say that all we need him to say that for is to serve instead of kiyum shtaris, to validate the signatures. Well, if we're talking acha shalomdu, then why is the Mishnah saying at all? Why is the Mishnah implying that only because he can't say it, therefore yiskayim b'chosma, but otherwise we would have required him to say b'fana nechtam. Why? Based on now, we're saying acha shalomdu, that shouldn't have been necessary at all. All that should be necessary is kiyum shtaris, and that's that. Which Tosfos discusses at some length over here, the question, can't Rabba answer that it means now what are we saying? According to Rava, apparently the answer would be that when he's able to say what are we saying? When he's able to say b'fana nechtam, then that's enough. We don't need other edim to validate the signatures. Only when he can't say it, then we need to have other edim do that. Which is a bigger hassle. Therefore, we'd rather be able to say b'fana nechtam. Well, why can't we give the same answer according to Rabba now? And Tosfos discusses, because there's something of a chiddush in it. There's something of a chiddush in it according to Rava, that we would say the Tana is talking about the case where he's unable to say and telling us that kiyum chosmav is enough. But otherwise, not enough. Just the opposite. You need kiyum. You need two edim to come. But otherwise, b'fanenechtem would have been good enough. But according to Rabbah, that b'fanenechtem is stronger than kiyum because it not only tells us the signatures are valid as in they belong to the people whose names they are, but also that it tells us that it was done l'shma. Well, then, in that case, so now in this case, when he's yochol, that so if we're saying, and the Tana is saying that when ain't a yochol, when he's unable to because he became a cheresh, then kiyum is enough. Well, then, in that case, then even if yochol, why should we require anything more than kiyum according to Rabbah? So therefore, Tosfos explains that the question is that's why the question is on Rabbah more than on Rava. And Tosfos goes on to discuss other possibilities. There's other ways of explaining there's other ways of explaining the Gemara's question. So the question is on Rabbah. So the answer is. So again, the question is, if you're going to tell me, Rabbah, that there came a point, Acha Shalomdu, there came a point when the people of Medina Sayyam are able to, are knowledgeable in the concept of Lashma, and the only concern is that you need to validate the signatures because there may be suspicion that the signatures are forged or whatever. Well, then, in that case, whether he's Yochel, whether he's able to say B'fanenechtem or not, either way, we should be able to just have Edim do it, and that's that. So why do we need him to say anything? The answer is Gzeira Shemiyachsa Javal Kokolai. Fine, but the point is the Chachamim would still make a Gzeira because things might go back to the old bad way. Right now, we have a point in history when the Bnei Chutz La'aretz are familiar with the concept of Lashma. That may not always be the case. So therefore, the Chachamim wanted to keep the Takana of B'fanenechtem in place in case, as a hedge, in case at some point the Bnei Chutz La'aretz go back to being not knowledgeable. Well, the Gemara asks in that case, Yehochi Eini Yochol Nami. Well, then we're back to the question of, so then why in the case of Eini Yochol does he not need to say that? One way or the other, if we're talking about that, when a time when Bnei Chutz La'aretz do not know the concept of Lashma, and according to Rabbah, that is the key factor of why the Shliach needs to say B'fanenechtem. But we're saying, on the other hand, that we're always concerned that they may revert to being non-knowledgeable. So why do we have, in the case of a person who became a Cheresh, we're not going to require him to say it, but in every other case we will, we should be consistent. Either we should never be requiring it, or we should always be requiring it. The answer is pikeach v'nischarish milsa d'loy shchicha. The answer is that you should have that the person was a pikeach and then he became a cheresh and all of that happened toich kedei dibur is a very uncommon thing. Or milsa d'loy shchicha legazur barabanan. We have a general rule: the chachamim do not make gzeiras about unusual cases. So therefore, the chachamim didn't need to make a gzeira for this case of the rare case when the person was pikeach and then became a cheresh toich kedei dibur, giving the get that we should require that he has to say b'fanenechtem, and if not, then the get is going to be possible. We're not going to say that. But in most other cases, Rabbah is going to say, even though right now the Bnei Chutz La'aretz know about Lashma, nevertheless, there's always the concern that they may forget, and therefore that we have to, that we have to still continue saying b'fanenechtem. So the Gemara says, the Gemara asks, what about the case of a woman bringing her own get? We talked about it a couple of days ago. You can have a case where the husband gives the wife a get and makes her a shliach halacha for it. In other words, he says, instead of under normal circumstances, I give you the get and that's that, you're now free to go. Now instead, he tells her, I'm giving you the get as a shliach. Your responsibility is to bring it to such and such a beis din. They will take it from you. They will then give it to you, and then it will take effect. I am making them my shluchim to give you the get. So in that case, then the get taka doesn't take effect until they actually give it to her. But she's the shliach halacha. That kind of case is also fairly uncommon. Utnan, yet we learn in a Mishnah later in the Masechta, Ha'isha Atma Mavia Gita, that a woman can bring her own get, over Vad Shetzricha Laim B'fananechta B'fananechta, but she has to be able to make this declaration, B'fananechta B'fananechta. So we see that even in an uncommon case, the Chachamim still make the Gzera. And a couple of Achronim, the Maharam Shif and the Pnei Yeshua, talk about that that Mishnah must be talking about a similar case to our Mishnah. So if our Mishnah is talking about that, even when you, Rabbah, we learned before that according to Rabbah, even you bring the get within one country in Medina Siyam, even though it's easy enough to find Edom at Suri and Lakaimar, but you have the problem that they're not familiar with Lashma, that later case must be talking about a similar scenario, and yet, so therefore, there's no problem of Edom at Suri and Lakaimar, but nevertheless, there's the problem of Lashma, and if you're telling me the only reason, according to Rabbah, that once the Bnei Chutzal learned about Lishma, and that's not an issue anymore, then why are we saying that she needs to say b'fanenechtem? You're going to say because every shliach has to do that, well then a shliach who became a cheresh should also have to do that. The answer is the Gemara says shalai tachlok b'shlichus. Fine, the Chachamim did not want to make a distinction between one kind of shliach and another. If as long as the shliach is able to say b'fanenechtem, and then we wanted to be able to say it because otherwise people are going to get confused and they're going to lose and they're going to forget about this whole takana altogether. But when you have an unusual case, that kind of case is unusual enough that we can make an exception to there and say that he doesn't need to say it. And instead we can have another way to validate the get. Okay. The Gemara asks the Hochi Baal Nami. Well, in that case, the same logic should apply to the husband as well. Again, you can have a case where the husband himself is bringing his own get from Medina Siyam, and then he's going to give it to his wife right there in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, instead of sending a shliach, like we've been talking all along, he himself could travel from Medina Siyam to Eretz Yisrael to give it to her. So based on everything we said, the husband also should have to say b'fanenechtem, because you're going to say every kind of shliach has to say that. Alama Tanya, well then why do we learn in a braisa not like that? Who atzme shehevi gitoy? A braisa says if the husband himself is bringing a get, then he doesn't need to make this declaration. So according to Rava, it's easy to understand. Now again, we're not going to assume that the husband, what are we going to say? We're not going to say that the husband is going to deliberately bring a forged get in order to trip up his wife, in order for her to think that she could remarry. Obviously, he's not going to do that. So according to Rava, then the Gemara doesn't even have a question. Obviously, the husband is not going to do that, and therefore there's no need to say b'fanenechtem in order to forestall that possibility. The question is on Rava, who says that there's the matter of not knowing about Lashma. So if you're going to tell me that the Braisa that with the husband over here is talking about before they learned about Lashma, then he shouldn't need to say b'fanenechtem. And if it's talking about afterwards, still, according to Rabbi, you're saying that every shliach who's able to say b'fanenechtem has to, in order that you don't distinguish between one shliach and another. So why is it that the wife would have to, but the husband would not? The answer is, the Gemara says, "Time of my Omer Rabbanon Sarach Loim B'fanenechtem." Think of it. Says the Gemara, why Bechlal did the Chachamim say this Takana in the first place? That the Shliach has to say B'fanenechtem is Dilma Osi Baal Ma'aru Uposale, because the husband may come and protest against the get and claim that it's not kosher. For example, that it wasn't written Lishma, or that the signatures are forged, or what have you. Uposale, and then he's going to declare it posel. So that's why we needed the shliach to say b'fanenechtem, and that way we can say the husband doesn't have a leg to stand on. Well, hashta minkat nokat le biyadei, here where the husband himself is holding the get in his hand, would he go and protest against the very same get that he himself is bringing? Of course not. Therefore, in that particular case, the Chachamim never had a reason in the first place to make the takana that he should have to say b'fanenechtem. You're going to be distinguishing between one shliach and another? Come on, it's easy enough to realize that everybody will realize the difference between the husband himself being his own shliach, where he's not going to protest against it, versus any other case where he sends somebody else where he might. So Tosfos actually points out that the machloikas that we had before about between Rashi and Tosfos of what exactly would happen if the husband protested, where according to Rashi you have a real possibility that you might have, for example, if the husband picked up a get that was not written lishma and he goes and gives it. Whereas Tosfos had learned rather that the problem is not so much that, the problem is just that the husband may be moitzi laz, he may bring up an objection, and then people are going to start questioning, is this woman really allowed to remarry, even though there's no really solid basis for what he's saying. So now that's going to affect the meaning of the Gemara's answer over here. Rashi's answer would be that since the whole reason you have to say b'fana nechtam is in case the husband objects, then what do you mean? How would Rashi understand our Gemara? So the Rashba explains that what it is that usually we would assume that a get is written lishma, but the husband might claim that he didn't know about that, and therefore people are going to start questioning. But if the husband himself brings the get, then we're not worried that he's going to be ma'arer, because he would have obviously made sure that it's kosher to get, otherwise he wouldn't have bothered schlepping all the way here. According to Tosfos' answer, it comes out much more simply. If the whole problem is that the husband may be motzi laz, if he himself was bringing the get, we're not concerned that he's going to be motzi laz on an unfounded basis. Okay. Fine, but the Gemara continues. So far we've been able to end for both Rabba's and Rava's reasons. We've shown that they're not contradicted by any Mishnah or Braisa or that. But now we're going to have another thing further on this topic. Toshma, deboy mine Shmuel Rav Huna. Shmuel asked Rav Huna the following question. Now, usually in the Gemara, Rav Huna is the Talmud of Rav. In which case, it would be a little bit odd for Shmuel to be asking him a question. Why would Shmuel be asking somebody from the following? Why would he be asking Rav Huna, who belongs to the following generation of Amiroi? There are here and there in Shas, in the Rishalmi, for example, we find a Rabbi Huna who was a Reish Galusa in the times of Rebbe, when Rebbe was the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael. This Rabbi Huna was the Reish Galusa in Bavel. So it's possible that that's the one that we're referring to here. Maybe then we're saying that Shmuel asked him the following question, he being from a previous generation before Shmuel. Anyway, the question is, Shmuel asked him, Shnayim Sheviu Get Mimdinas Yam. What happens if two shluchim together bring a get from Medinas Hayam? All this time we've been talking about you have one single shliach bringing. Now what happens instead if you have two? So tzrichin shiyem, b'fanein nechtam, oy ein tzrichin. Do they need to say b'fanein nechtam, or do they not? Amalei ein tzrichin. And Rav Huna answers Shmuel, they don't need to. And why don't they need to? Because Rav Huna says, after all, if these two Adim were to say that their husband divorced his wife in their presence, mi loy mehemni, wouldn't they be believed? After all, they're two Adim, and two Adim is the and two Adim is always the standard for anything. So if they're saying that this is a valid get, then if they're saying that we're bringing this get on behalf of this woman from her husband, automatically then we should believe them, we should accept that it's a valid get, even if they don't say b'fana nechta, b'fana nechta. So the Rava Micha. So again, according to Rava, this seems very straightforward. If according to Rava, the whole reason for b'fana nechtam is so that in case there's a question about the validity of the Edim's signatures, then we should be able to clear that up by the shliach saying b'fana nechtam amounts to saying that these signatures are valid. Well, then according to him, it's easy enough to understand why in this case, when you have two shluchim, then it's good. The Rabba Kasha, but according to Rabba, that you have also the consideration of Lishma. Then how does having two Adim help? Even if two Adim come and say that fine. If they were to say b'fanenu Gersha, then fine, we might accept their Adus. But if they're bringing a get, we still need evidence that that get was written Lishma. So isn't Rav Huna's answer a proof against Rabba? And again, the Gemara answers, again, we can answer that Rav Huna is talking about a time after the people of Chutz La'aretz learned about the concept of Shaloi Lishma. So now, according to Rabba, there's no more concern about that. There's only the concern of Ein Eidim Mitzuyim L'Kaimai. And in this case, when you have two Shluchim, then there's no concern about that. Again, the Gemara asks the Hachi Chad Mami. Well, then wouldn't the same thing apply even if only one shliach brings it? So So, in fact, different Mephoshim, by the way, point out what were the two possibilities, what Shmuel was wondering about. So the Rashba and the Ran want to say that, in fact, the question was whether the reason is like Rabba or like Rava. But the Rashba doesn't really like that explanation. So we're saying once we see that Rav Huna holds like Rava, then the question is, so how does that fit with Rabba's opinion? Now, granted, of course, Rav Huna and Rabba are both Amoraim. Of course, the Gemara could have easily enough answered that fine, Rav Huna is entitled to his opinion and Rabba is entitled to his, but the Gemara would rather assume that when you have something that Shmuel asked Rav Huna and whoever this Rav Huna was, whether it's the Rav Huna who was the Talmud of Rab or whether it's the Rav Huna who was a generation before that, or two generations before that, still the Gemara would like to assume that what he says is definitive, the fact that Shmuel asked him and apparently accepted the answer, so therefore we should assume that Rabba's reason would work according to it also. So again, we're saying that La'acha Shalomdu, then Rabba would say that that's when that would work. Well, the question is Yehochi Chad Nami, then the same thing should apply even if it was only one Shliach, because it's Acha Shalomdu, because now the B'nai Chutz La'aretz understand about the importance of Lashma. Tosfos has a couple of different ways of understanding what the question is. One is that Acha Shalomdu, that Shmuel should be asking what happens if two Edim certify the get? Do you still need to say B'fon Anechtem, B'fon Anechtem? And then Tosfos goes on to explain another way that if we're saying Acha Shalomdu, then when you have two, you don't need b'fon anechtem. Well, in that case, then why should one within that medina? Why should he still need to say it? Anyway. So the Gemara answers again, like we said before, because things might get messed up again, the B'nai Chutz La'aretz might go back to not being knowledgeable, and therefore we don't want that chance. The Gemara asks, Yehochi Beit Tirei Nami. Well, in that case, again, when two Edom are bringing it, how does that help? The fact is, according to Rabbah, you still have the problem of the Shema. The answer is, Beit Tirei, Maisu Gita, Milsa Delo Shchicha. That two people together should bring a get is something uncommon. And again, like we said before, the Chachamim did not make gzeiros generally about uncommon situations. Again, the Gemara goes through the same questions as before. The case of a woman bringing her own get is also very uncommon. Yet we learn later on that a woman can bring her own get as a shliach halacha, and she has to be able to make that declaration. And the answer is the Gemara says, okay, shalai tachlik b'shlichus. Again, like we said before, you don't want to make a distinction between shluchim. Anytime you have one shliach, you always want him to say b'fananechta. But two shluchim already is different. Okay, the Gemara says, Yehochi Baal Nami. Well, then in that case, even if the husband brings the get, the same din should apply. Alomatanya, so why do we learn in a braisa, who atz meshevi gitoy, that if the husband himself brings the get, ain't it tzarech lem b'fananechtam. So why not, if you're telling me shalai tachlik b'shlichus? And the answer is, like we said before, time am I, omer abonat tzarech loima b'fananechtam. What's the whole reason why the Chachamim said you have to make this declaration in the first place? According to Rabba, the reason was because otherwise the husband might come and object and claim that the get is possible. Again, according to Rashi, he might say outright that I didn't know about Lashma and I picked up this get out of the garbage and used it, not realizing that it's no good. According to Tosfos, it's more just that there'll be moitzi laz. He'll start calling it into question, even if he doesn't have a solid basis. Anyway, hashta minkat nokat lebi a day. Here he's coming and bringing it in his own hand. Would he go and object to it? Of course not. So therefore, we can assume that in that case, it's fully valid and we don't need the takana in the first place. Okay. So that answers that question against Rabba. The Gemara continues, Toshma, let's bring another proof from a Braisa. Braisa says, I may be get Medina Siyam, Menosnila. If the Shliach brings the get from Medina Siyam and gives it to the wife, the loy omala b'fananechtam, he does not say this b'fananechtam, then the Braisa says, im niskayim b'choismab, if the if the get was validated by its signers, meaning, in other words, again, we were able to bring in Edim, whether the original Edim, whether other Edim, whether whatever any of the methods of Kiyum Shtaris, and demonstrate that these signatures are valid, kosher, then the get is good, v'im lav posel, and if not, then the get is posel. Heavy. Therefore, the Braisa says, you see, you can derive from that. So you see that the purpose of saying b'fana nechtam is not to be machmer on the woman, to say that without that, the get is always going to be possible. It makes it easier for her, because that way she doesn't have to go looking for Edim to validate the signatures. Once the shliach comes and says b'fana nechtam, then that's it. We say any further objections to the get are not going to be accepted. Well, again, according to Rava, now it's very easy to understand what the Braisa is saying. The whole problem, according to Rava, was about Ein Edim Metzuyin L'Kaimoi. Once you have, in this case, if Niskayim B'Chosma, then you've taken care of that. L'Rabba Kasha, but according to Rabba, it's a question, because according to him, you still have the problem of L'Shma. And again, the Gemara answers, again, we can say this Braisa is talking about after they learned about the concept of L'Shma. What do you mean? Haven't we been saying all the time that there's a problem that we're afraid that it might go back to the old bad way, that people might forget in Medina Sayyam again about the din of Lashma, and therefore because of that you have to have always b'fana nechtam. So what are you telling me, that once they know already, then we don't have to say it again and we can just get away with doing kiyum shtaris? The answer is Kshenissas. The answer is the Braisa is talking about where she, having received the get, she went and remarried. So therefore, so now the Chachamim don't want we don't want to unnecessarily make that the get should be possible and she should have to get divorced. So it's true, they didn't follow the Takana of the Chachamim. They didn't do right. They should have said b'fana nechtam, but they didn't. Nevertheless, b'di'evad, right now that the Bnei Chutz La'aretz are familiar with the Shema, then therefore we can allow ourselves to get away with that and just then and not worry about that consideration and just do Yiskayim B'chosma. But had it not been for that, had she not gotten remarried, then in fact we would require that the get be given to her again and say b'fana nechtam in order to keep the takana of the Chachamim. Tosfos, in fact, discusses actually that we would actually require her to get divorced. All we're saying is that, on Omid Beis, we're going to talk more about this, but all we're saying is, right now, at least we're not going to say that any children from her second husband are going to be mamzerim. But we will actually require her to get divorced, unlike in some other cases that we talked about the other day, and we're going to talk about at the end of the Masechta, of certain kinds of gittim that are posel d'rabbanan, where then even if she got remarried, even though there's no children yet, we don't force her to get divorced because it was only a takana of the Chachamim. Here we're actually going to go so far as requiring her to get divorced. We just won't declare the children mamzerim on that basis. Although Rameyu is going to disagree even with that, as we'll see soon. So the Gemara says, Ihochi. Well, if that's the case, we're saying only when she got married, then we're saying that the Dieved, we can just be Skaim B'chosmav in order not to make the children Mamzerim. Well, then, what do you mean when the Braisa says heavy? So you see from that, so you're saying that the only purpose of saying b'fana nechtam is to be meiko on her, you were saying before, because then she doesn't have to go look for Edim to validate the signatures. What do you mean? It has nothing to do with being meiko on her of finding Edim or not. The reason is mishum denisesu. It's only because she got married that we're being meiko on her. Nothing to do with being meiko on her about finding Edim. So, in other words, had she not gotten married, we wouldn't allow her to get married, even though that it's been Niskayim. So that's a chumrah. The answer is Hachikama. You're right. What the Braisa means is v'chi tema. You're going to argue that having to say b'fana nechtam l'hachmer alel, that you're going to say rather that we should be machmanu v'lapka, and we should require her to divorce her husband. So the Braisa is saying heavy. You have to say loy hutzruch loy b'fana nechtam or b'fana nechtam l'hachmer alel elo l'hokel alel, that before she gets married she shouldn't need to bring edim that it was written l'shma. Instead, as long as the shliach says b'fana nechtam, then we're good, and we don't require her to do anything further. But it is true that if she got that if they were Mekayim by Edim, and she got married, was still going to make them get divorced because b'fana neftam wasn't say, wasn't done, but basically the takana was to be makel on her in the first place, even though there could potentially come out a chumra. So the Gemara continues. Because what the Braise is saying is time am I. What's the whole reason behind b'fana nechtam according to Rabba? The main reason is Dilma Osi Balam Arer, because otherwise the husband may come and object to the get or posole and make the get posole. Hashta, in our case, Baal Le Kama Arer, if the husband himself is not making any such objection, Anan Nekum and Arer Allah, should we go and ourselves go and bring up any question to make the to make the get puzzle unnecessarily? So we have reason to be makel on her. Because after all, if the husband had come with an objection, would be one thing, but he hasn't yet come, and we have no reason to go and bring up such an objection on our own. Rashi mentions a point that there were kisvei yad of Gemara in front of him that had over here the words v'boyis ema, that the Gemara is giving over here a second answer, that this time of my was a second answer. But Rashi doesn't like that. He gives the girsa as we have it printed here in the Gemara. Tosfa says that no, actually you do have it. What it means is the Gemara is giving us two answers. That number one, achal shalomdu, we're going to say that we're going to be mako on her, because after all, the only concern, there's no real concern now of lishma, because it's achal shalomdu. So therefore we can get away, and the only concern is that the signatures themselves may not be valid, and kiyum shtaris will take care of that. A second answer the Gemara would be giving is even before Lamdu, once she's married already, we're not going to go so far as to make her get divorced and her children be mamzerim, because there's no real, because since the only concern was about the laws of the husband, then that's not a strong enough reason to break up her marriage. So according to Tosfos, there are actually two different answers over here. Okay. So now that we've gone and analyzed Rabba's and Rava's reasons in great detail, so now the Gemara is going to continue with other Amiroyim who we find argue on the same point. The Gemara says, "Beplugta de Rabbi Yechanan Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi." This machloikas of Rabba and Rava is actually the same machloikas as Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Because chad amal lefishein b'kiyam l'shma, v'chad amal lefishein inim etzuyim l'kayimah. So one of them says like Rabba's reason, the other one says like Rava's reason. Now, which one was which? So the Gemara says, "Tistayim." We can conclude that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who do amal lefishein b'kiyam l'shma, that it must be Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi who holds that the problem is l'shma, like Rabba, and then Rabbi Yochanan's reason would be like Rava. How do we see that? Did Rabbi Shimon ba Abba icy gita? Rabbi Shimon ba Abba one time brought a get from Medina Sayam l'kamei to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi in front of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who was the dayan, who was the local dayan. The Amalei and Rav Shimon Bar Abba asks him, do I have to be able to make that declaration or not? Amalei loy tzrichas, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi tells him you don't need to. Loy omru ela b'doros harishonim she'en b'kiyam l'shma, because this whole takana was only in the earlier generations where they were not familiar with the concept of l'shma. So therefore, there's the concern that a get brought from Medina Sayyam either may have actually been written shaloy l'shma, or at least that the husband could be motzi laz that it was. But in the later generations, where even the Bnei Chutzlaretz are familiar with the concept of the Shema, like the Rabbi Shimon Levi says, it's not necessary. Well, Tistayim. Well, then that seems to conclude it. That seems to be pretty conclusive that Rabbi Shimon Levi is the one who holds that the issue is the Shema, because otherwise, if it was a matter of Einei Mitzuyin L'Kaimai, that would exist just as much in Rabbi Shimon Levi's times as in earlier times. The Gemara says, "V'tisbara." How do you think? How could you think? How could you think to say that? How could you think to say that? That's what we can derive from the story. So Rashi actually takes out the word "V'tisbara." He says the Gemara is not even asking how could you think that. The Gemara is going to ask rather that you're assuming that Rav Shimon bar Abba came all by himself, and the question was whether he has to say b'fana nechtam. How can you assume that? Don't we have reasons to say that it wasn't necessarily so? Rashi says, if you have the gears of a tisbara, which is how we have it in front of us in the Gemara, then it would mean that the question would be. Sure, we know Rabbi Shimon Levi. Sure, we can accept based on that story that Rabbi Shimon Levi is the one who says like Rabbah, that because they don't know about Lishma. But how could you think that? How could you think that this is exactly how the story was? First of all, first of all, we already established before that Rabba on Dalet Amud Beis at the bottom, that Rabba agrees with Rabba's reason. In other words, that Rabba agrees that Rabba's reason about Ein Eidim Mitzuyim L'Kaimo is a consideration, and you do have to keep that in mind. So even if the people in Chutz Laaretz are familiar with the concept of Lishma, nevertheless, you still have Ein Eidim Mitzuyim L'Kaimoi, and for that reason alone, you should have to say b'fanei nechtam. Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi would have to agree with that also, because after all, the proof that we brought from Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's opinion in the Mishnah, that proof would have to be so according to Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi as well. So even Rabba, and therefore Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi, would have to agree that that's a consideration as well. So how can Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi be saying now that the B'nai Chutz Laaretz know about Lishma, then there's no further need to say it? What about Rabba's reason? Isn't that a consideration? That's first of all. Haven't we been saying the whole time that there's always the concern that it might go back to the old bad way, and therefore you need and therefore accordingly you do need them to be saying b'fanei nechtam anyway. So for that reason alone, Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi shouldn't be saying now that they know that you don't need to anymore. The takana should still be a takana because of that concern. So Ella, rather, what we have to say is, Rav Shimon ba'Abba in a shachrina have a bad day. It must be that Rav Shimon ba'Abba had another shliach together with him, and we said before that Rav Huna had informed Shmuel that when you have two people coming, they don't need to say b'fanei nechtam, because we said even if they were to just say that Ploini divorced his wife Ploinis in Chutz La'aretz, then we would believe them because they're two edim. So therefore, so here also there were two, and that's really why Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is saying that he doesn't need to say b'fanei nechtam, because anyway there are two. The reason why the Braisa didn't mention that other person with Rabbi Shimon Abba, Mishum Kvoded Rabbi Shimon, is because of Rabbi Shimon Abba's honor, because whoever that person was, he wasn't of Rabbi Shimon Abba's caliber, and therefore it's not right to mention them together as though they were of equal caliber. But we could say, in fact, that there were the both of them. And in fact, therefore, so that's not a solid proof. So again, according to Rashi's first explanation, and Tosfos also says that way, it means we don't actually have a solid proof that, or at least we don't have yet. The Gemara is going to still assume soon that Rabbi Shmuel Levi is the one who says that ain't the key in Lishma. So we may not have a solid proof from this story, but nevertheless, we could say that that's how it is. Okay. The Gemara says Itmar. So now we have another, now that we finished with the idea behind why you have to say b'fanei nechtam, we're not really finished with it, but mostly now let's get to a related point, which is going to bear on. Itmar. So we have like this, a discussion. Bifnei kama nosnei la. When the shliach gives the get to the woman, in front of how many people does he have to give it to her and say b'fanei nechtam? Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina. So now Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina argue on that. Chad amar b'fnei shnayim v'chad amar b'fnei shloisha. One of them says it has to be in front of two people. The other says it has to be in front of three. The two would be, they'd be edim. The three would be dayan. Now, again, we haven't said which one is which. We just said Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina are the two opinions. So again, tistayim, we should be able to conclude. Rabbi Yochanan who da'ama b'fnei shnayim, that Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says that it's enough to do it in front of two. And we know that from the following story. The Ravin bar Rav Chista Aisi Gita. Ravin bar Rav Chista one time brought a get from Medina Sayam L'Kameh to Rabbi Yochanan, to Rabbi Yochanan. V'omalei zil havla ba'apit trei. And Rabbi Yochanan tells him, go give it to her in presence of two people. V'emalehu b'fanei nechtam. And say b'fanei nechtam in front of them. So therefore we see that Rabbi Yochanan says you only need two. Tistayim, good. So that concludes that. Well, the Gemara says, Lema b'hokamifagi. Well, can we say that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina are arguing on the same point as Rabba and Rava, and on the same point, as we just said, of Rabbi Shimon Levi and Rabbi Yochanan? Demanda Amar b'fnei shnayim. Rabbi Yochanan, who says that you only need to give the get in front of two, he would say kasav l'fishein b'kein l'shma. He says that the problem is why you need to say b'fnei nechtam in the first place is because b'nei chutz la'aretz are not familiar with l'shma. So therefore, all you need is two edim to say b'fnei nechtam in front of them. In other words, when he says l'shma, the Ritva explains we learned on Beis Amud Beis Eidach Hanem and Beisurin. When it comes to Dina Isur Behetu, you can believe one aid. So when he comes and says l'shma, then fine, we have one aid. Then we can believe him. On the other hand, we said it was a davar sheba erva, and you need two. But we said mishum eguna in order that the woman shouldn't be stuck. Then the chachamim are willing to be mekel and allow Eidach Hanem and Beisurin. So therefore, but you never find that Eid Echad should have to testify in front of Beis Din. Therefore, that would be the reason why you need only two. So that would explain why you need two. Umanda Omer b'fnei Shloisha Kasavar. The opinion that says that you need three would hold. Lefishein Eidim Mitzuyin Lekaima, because you don't have Eidim available to certify the signatures. And therefore, in effect, what you're doing over here is Kiyum Shtaris. The only difference is we're saying before Rava had said that. Really, Kiyum Shtaris should technically require two Edim to begin with. We're going to be Makel over here because of Igun and allow only one. But otherwise, it is a regular Kiyum Shtaris. Well, Kiyum Shtaris has to be done in the presence of a Beis Din of three. So therefore, that would explain the opinion of Reb Chanina that you need three. So it would come out that Reb Yochanan and Reb Chanina are arguing exactly on the machlokas of Rabba and Rabba. But the Gemara says, with Tispera, how could you think to say that way? Given that we just had in the previous machloikas where we said we had Rabbi Yochanan versus Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and we ended up saying that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is in fact the one who says like Rabbah that the problem is that they're not baki in l'shma necessarily. Rabbi Yochanan. Omar l'fishein edim mitzuyin l'kaimoi. Then Rabbi Yochanan must be the one who says that the problem is that there's no Eidim Mitzuyin L'kaimai. V'hocha heichikomer Rabbi Yochanan b'fnei shnayim. So how could all of a sudden Rabbi Yochanan be saying over here that it's two, which would be like Rabba's reason? So he'd be switching. First in the Machlokas with Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, he'd be going like Rabba, and now all of a sudden he'd be going like Rabba. So how could Rabbi Yochanan possibly say over here in front of two? Two wouldn't be enough for Kiyum Shtaris. You need three. You need a Beis Din. Therefore, of necessity, therefore, we can't say that Rabbi Yochanan is saying it's. So how could Rabbi Yochanan be the one to say that it's true and be saying that it's on the basis of, or he could say that's true, but how could he be saying that on the basis of that he holds like Rabba? If he held like Rabba, then how would that explain the previous machlokas where he holds like Rabba? Now Tosfos points out in the second perek in on Daf Yud Zayin later on, we're going to talk about there are two different ways of understanding Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. The Gemara is not bringing that over here, says Tosfos, because that amora is anyway going to understand the machlokas of Rabba and Rava differently than we are in this sugya. The Gemara is not bringing in that point. And anyway, the Gemara is saying that Tosfos points out that opinion. The Gemara ends up saying that is the correct understanding of Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore all Gemara is following that opinion. Didn't we already say Ha Rabba Islay de Rabba? We already established that Rabba agrees with Rabba's reason as well, and therefore, even according to Rabba, we still have to account for Rabba's reason. So, in this case, in other words, if you're telling me that if he's bringing it from Medina Sayyam and then still, how could Rabbi Yochanan say that it's enough to do it in front of two? Fine, from the point of view of Lashma, it might be enough to do it in front of two. But from the point of Edom, Mitzuri, and Lakaimo, you need three because you need a Beis Din. And so both Rabba and Rabba should hold that you need three. How could Rabbi Yochanan, how would that explain Rabbi Yochanan saying that you need only two? So the Gemara answers no. Ella de kula alma be'inan edim etzoyin l'kaili. Rather, we're going to answer both Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina both agree that the consideration when it comes to bringing the get from the Dinas Yam and saying b'fana nechtem, the main point is that you need edim etzoyin l'kaili. And therefore, so on the face of it, you need three. V'hocha b'shliach nasa eid ve'eid nasa dayin kamifli. The argument is over here, can the shliach become an aid and can the aid become a dayan, which is a topic that's discussed in a number of places in Shas. So in other words, when this shliach comes, can he become part of the Beis Din? Mand Omer b'fnei shnayim, Rabbi Yochanan, who says that it's enough to say b'fana nechtem in front of two, kasava shliach nasa aid ve'aid nasa dayan. He holds that the shliach can become an aid, and that aid can in turn become a dayan. So therefore, in effect, now what happens is the shliach says it in front of the two aidim. So therefore, they serve as aidim. Now the shliach himself becomes in effect a third aid of what he himself said, and the three of them together now turn around and become a beis din, and therefore they can do kiyum shtaris. Omanda Omer b'fnei shlosha, where's Rabbi Chanina, who says that you need three, kasava shliach nasa aid. He says, fine, the shliach can become an aid, so in effect we have three over here, but the ain aid nasa dayan, but the aid in turn cannot become a dayan, therefore you need three besides the shliach to become to certify the signatures, and therefore, in other words, when he says it, so he can't say it in front of two of them, and then they would become dayanim because ein eid nasa dayan. Therefore, he needs to say it in front of three, and they are based in to begin with. So the Gemara asks, how does that work though? V'hakai malon b'drabbanon de eid nasa dayan. Don't we know for a fact that in dinim drabbanon we do say eid nasa dayan? Only in things daraisa do we say that it's not like that. And the whole concept of kiyum shtaris is only derabbanan, because we've learned before midaraisa, once you have signatures on a document, then we consider commission nechkara edus in the beis din, as if the edus was already cross-examined and beis din. So only derabbanan is the whole concept of error, and that you should need kiyum shtaris. So that's only with dinim daraisa. Here we're talking about a din derabbanan. Tosfos actually, Rashi actually brings a girsa. Rashi brings Tosfos points out in Rashi's name that Rashi leaves out the words that when we say in aid nasadain is only in things daraisa, but drabbanon is different. And Tosfos explains that Rashi has a good point in taking that out, because of course we know that in drabbanon aid nasa dayan. So therefore, so Gemara is asking, what do you mean ain aid nasa dayan? Obviously, in things drabbanon is. Anyway, so we know that in things drabbanon aid nasa dayan. So what's the problem? So the Gemara says, you're right. Ella hocha b'hocha mifli. You're right. Everybody will agree. Aid nasa dayan. That's not the reason why you should need to say it in front of three appointed of chanina. Ella hocha b'hocha mifli. Rather, the machlokas is over here like this. Demar sabar, the Reb Chanina, who says that you need three, holds kibben de ishak sheder lahavias a get. Since a woman is kosher to bring her own get, as we learned before, zimnin de maisel itza, it might happen that a woman brings the get, the samchi Allah, and then they're going to rely on her, and they're going to think that she can count as one of the dayanim. And of course, we know that's not so. A woman can't be a dayan. So therefore, Reb Chanina says, to begin with, you need three in order to forestall that problem. So there's never a concern that they're going to think that she could count as one of the three. As far as Reb Yechanan, though, he says, listen, Isha made a Yadi, made a Yadi. They know good and well that a woman is possible as a Dayan. Therefore, they're not going to rely on her in the first place. So therefore, there's no reason to be Gozer. Therefore, there's no reason to be gozer and to say that you should need three. Two is quite enough. Tosfos discusses that yes, this is the girsa isha ksheira lahavias a get. It doesn't have to be lahavias gita to bring her own get. Just a woman is kosher to bring a get. In other words, you have a girsa of other rishonim, the Rif and others, who have a girsa lahavias gita. But the point is, the obvious get is that a woman can be a shliach for any get. But the same thing would apply not only to a woman. The same thing would apply if a relative of the husband or the wife brings the get. They're also possible to be dayanim because they're relatives. So Tosfos points out, in fact, that the same thing would be if a relative brought it as well. But then the Rashba goes on to say that no, the correct gusage should be lahavias gita, that it's not so much a matter of being a woman versus a man, it's a matter of that she's a negev dover. So other relatives are not as negev dover. They may not be able to be dayonim normally, but in a case like this of kiyum shtaris, maybe it should be fine because the whole thing is only derabbanan. So that would explain why Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, why Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina respectively say 2 and 3, because it would depend on this point of, oh, do we have to be concerned when a woman is bringing a get, that they, whether according to the different girsos who own get or a get in general, that they might mistakenly include her in the base din. According to Rabbi Chanina, yes, and therefore we always have to have 3 to begin with, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, no, and therefore it's fine to just have two people that she says it in front of. So the Gemara says, Tanya Kava said that Rabbi Yochanan, we learn a braisa in accordance with Rabbi Yochanan's understanding. Hamevi get from Dinas Yam, if a person brings a get from a Dinas Yam and he gives it to the wife, v'loy amala b'fana nechta b'fana nechta, he doesn't say this phrase, yotzi v'avlad mamzer divrei Rav Meir. The Rav Meir says the new husband would actually have to divorce her, and the husband and the child would be considered a mamzer, says Rav Meir. The chum ain't a vlad mamzer. The chum would say it's not so bad. The child is not a mamzer. As we learned before, Tosfos says the chum would agree that the husband has to divorce her, but we're not going to say that the child is a mamzer. Kate said, yeah, so what do you do? Yitlenu heimena. So according to the mayor, what do you do before they get married? She'll be able to get married. And according to the Chachamim, what do you do that she should be able to get married? And what do you do that we shouldn't require them to get divorced, maybe? Let him take back the get from her. And then give it to her again in front of 2. So we see like Rabbi Yochanan that it's 2. And then he says, and therefore that's fine. And then b'dieved, that's fine. So we see that the Braisa is saying 2 like Rabbi Yochanan and not 3 like Rabbi Chanin. Which Tosfos points out, this is where we see that you have to say b'fananechtam, when you're actually giving it to her. Because otherwise, why does he have to take it back from her and give it back to her? He should just be able to say it at any time. Though that shows that it has to be at the time or at least b'tosfididim. Okay, the Gemara asks, what is your mayor saying? Just because you didn't say those 4 words, therefore we're going to not only force her husband to divorce her, but we're actually going to declare the child a mamzer? Do we go that far with the takana? And the Gemara says, ain't. As a matter of fact, yes. Reb Meir the time Meir. Reb Meir is going according to his shita. The Amr of Hamnuna Meshmei De'ula. Oymer Hoyer Reb Meir. Reb Meir used to say, Kol Meshanim Mepeir Shetavu Chachamim Begitin. Anybody who changes any of the formula that the Chachamim said to do as far as Gittin, Yotzi Vavlad Mamzer. He would have to divorce her, and the child would be a Mamzer. This b'fana nechtam is part of the matbeah shetavu chachamim. The chacham made a rule that you have to say b'fana nechtam. Therefore, you have to say it. And if you don't, then Rameya is going to go so far as say that you have that the child is going to be a mamzer. The chachamim, again, we said are going to disagree. They'll say the child will be kosher. We're just saying that until that's taken care of, her husband would have to divorce her. B'dieved, if they want to stay married, then the shliach would have to give her the get again and say b'fana nechtam at that time when he gives it to her, and then they'd be allowed to stay married. Okay, so now we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, and we'll deal with the question. The first thing we'll deal with is just how much of the writing and the signing does the shliach have to be able to see to be able to say b'fana nechtam anyway. So that'll be the first point, and then we'll continue talking about other dinim as far as this din of b'fana nechtam. Best Hashem.
Yes, clear.